interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Oh, let's start tonight in Red Bluff, California, shall we? It's a story about a man being attacked at a Burger King in the bathroom. What's more American than incidents at Burger King and McDonald's? The victim was a 74-year-old man, and he was in the bathroom with a 32-year-old man, when suddenly, spontaneously it seemed, the 32-year-old man, the young one, grabs the old man and just starts slamming him in the face with a bathroom stall door, knocking him to the ground. The victim attempted to get up, and the young man again grabbed him and slammed his face into the stall. And then the 32-year-old man looked down at him and said, quote, "This is what I do to old people," end quote. And I think I'm gonna laugh at that while I'm still young. and the guy literally reiterates, quote, "I knocked you down because you are old," end quote. Well, they apprehended the guy. He has been charged with felony assault and elder abuse, and he's being held in jail in lieu of an $80,000 bail. What a world we live in. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua B. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Now, I'm older than you. Are you going to do some bad things to me?
Just a little bit. We were born the same year, but I think I'm inspired. I'm going to get you in the bathroom at some point, and I'm going to up the ante a little bit.
Okay.
This is what I do to old people. And, yeah, that's right. You got to give them the smackdown. And also, I will just go ahead and mention this right up front. If my voice sounds a little weird, you might be able to tell. I've been under the weather. A lot of people are. I actually have been very lucky this year because, you know, I traveled all over the place and stayed very healthy.
It finally caught up to me, so if at some point I have to sneeze or cough or something like that, then I fully expect you, Forrest, and Investigator Shelley Wright to jump in and have a profoundly intelligent conversation and just surprise all of us. Okay. Do you think you can handle that, Investigator Shelley Wright?
Oh, yeah.
We can just ask her about silver rounds. How about that?
Yeah, those Santa rounds. They were in such popular demand, they're all sold out, aren't they, Shelley?
Yes, we don't have any.
But you can order more, right?
I don't know. It's kind of long in the tooth, you know?
Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. You know, Shelley, it's amazing to think that we are now 13 days from December 21st, this date that has been looked forward to, perhaps dreaded by some, for thousands of years. 13 days to go. And then you take that tension, you compound that with the holidays. What's the atmosphere been like at Wright's Coin Shop?
Crazy. Just crazy. And full mooners. People are just, they're strange.
Yeah?
Stranger than usual.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. You know, you just watch the news and you see how it's ramping up. You know, we were talking about the dude in New York who shoved the guy onto the subway tracks.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of surprised that doesn't happen much more often, though. Because I can't tell you how many times I've stood there waiting for a subway and I've thought, this is super dangerous that I'm standing next to this horrific killing contraption and there's no guardrail or anything, and at any moment a person could fall into this ditch and die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, one good thing about being this close to December 21st is that we know thoughts are manifesting much more quickly and effectively and efficiently. And on our last show, we put out a couple of prayer requests. We put out one for our friend Patricia, Demented Patty, because she was going into surgery. Well, our prayers kicked into high gear, and something miraculous happened. It turns out she gets a call from the doctor, and the surgery is not going to be necessary after all. Isn't that right, Shelley?
Yes, it was amazing.
Isn't that? That is just wild. Now, we also put out a prayer request for your mother, Forrest.
That's correct, and she got out of the hospital yesterday, or a couple days ago.
Well, hopefully our prayers are really working well here, and our friend, Dr. Mulder, our radionics tech, he even is working on a machine there directed towards sending positive vibes to your mother. So, you know, it's wonderful to take advantage of what some people are dreading and look at it as a positive spin, that we can affect things for a better purpose, a better reason. And that's one reason also that I feel like when we're trying to capture the essence of what's going on right now, the zeitgeist, if you will, especially of those people who are really worried, who think that, hey, in 13 days, maybe there is going to be something catastrophic or cataclysmic. I figured the perfect guy for us to have in the studio tonight to discuss this whole 2012 type scenario and prepping and survival and all the other fascinating things is the guy who you might call the ultimate man. The most interesting man in the world. He should be in the Dos Equis commercials. Dr. Bill freaking Forstchen is supposed to be here tonight in person in the studio. And Bill Forstchen is an old friend of ours. You've never met him before, Shelley. This will be your first time. Forrest and I, we go way back with Dr. Bill. And he's a New York Times best-selling author. He is a professor of history. He's a world traveler. He owns airplanes. He goes out having adventures all the time. And he's a great storyteller. So I don't even know what exactly we're going to talk about, but I know that we will include some information about people who are trying to prepare for the worst. Because, you know, one of his most popular books is called One Second After. And it's based on this premise that an EMP knocks out most of the electrical grid and people kind of have to revert back to pioneer days. Except it's a lot worse now because you've got these mob groups that can get together with high-powered guns and go around storming places. And, you know, there are all kinds of there's all kinds of potential for horrible scenarios, complicated, frustrating moral dilemmas and things. So unless he gets whisked away at the last minute to speak before Congress or something, and that is actually possible, then Dr. Bill Forschtin is supposed to be here in the studio. And he's also responsible for some of my achievements, which I want to thank him for on the air tonight. If it weren't for Bill Forschtin, I would not have probably been published by Simon & Schuster, the biggest publisher in the world. He gave me a little help with that. So anyway, okay, before we move on here toward our first break, I finally saw the Blu-ray extras on the Apparition disc. Have you seen them yet, Shelley?
No, not yet.
Have you seen them, Forrest?
I've not.
Now, you know, last week we pointed out that, you know, The Apparition is this Warner Brothers movie that we worked on. And some people have gotten the DVD and they were kind of disappointed because there are about four or five features that we're involved with. And there's only one on the DVD. If you get the Blu-ray, you get to watch them all. I mean, for all I know, there's not even enough space on the DVD to put all the extras. But regardless, so I went out and I bought a DVD. I mean, I bought a Blu-ray player. I've just never had a use for one before. I kind of skipped that stage in technology and just went straight to digital downloads. So I went out, bought a Blu-ray player. I watched our extras, and I must say, I was really impressed. They did a great job. We look like a million bucks. Our laboratory looks as sleek and sophisticated as you could ever hope. And it's just a really, really well-done, interesting compliment. And in fact, it's not surprising. I really do believe that the extra features there featuring our team are better than the movie The Apparition is.
Yay!
And everybody has said that.
They have.
So I don't feel so bad saying it myself. Because, I mean, you're actually getting to see us really at work. But, you know, one thing that I thought was kind of weird, and I'd mentioned this to you, Forrest. When we did our experiment, Shelley was focusing her thoughts on this little tiki statue that you had been given by a friend who visited Hawaii at one point, right? And that was kind of the reference that Shelley was going to use to try to manifest something. And at the last minute, the lawyers at Warner Brothers, they wanted to know, well, who owns the rights to this tiki doll? Which I'm thinking, like, this is just some kind of tourist carving, you know? Well,
I own the rights to it.
Yeah. So they actually blur the little tiki doll's face out. So you can't you can't see exactly what Shelley's focusing on. You can get the idea. I mean, it works well enough.
You put a picture of it on your website, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well then,
I'm not worried about it, but
yeah,
Warner
people
Brothers
can see.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Go to joshuapwarren.com and you'll see exactly what it looks like. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it won't take us long here to jump into a story from Florida. What is this headline? Man hits firefighter on the head with a shovel. Oh, goodness, what's this all about? And then also, a Trivial Pursuit game gone wrong. This sounds like something that Forrest and I could have been involved with at some point over the years. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the extraordinary, the remarkable, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Call the friends, call the family. Tell them to listen in tonight. It's going to be a good one, and we'll be back right after this.
for a couple of hours on a beautiful day. I dream of you amid the flowers for a couple of hours. Such a beautiful day.
Don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com to find a live chat during the show, more information on topics discussed, and links to all kinds of cool stuff, like the haunted Asheville ghost tours and ghost hunts. Yes, they are still taking place. We're going to try to keep a regular schedule all the way through the end of the year, and then we'll figure out what to do January, February, March. We kind of play that by ear, based on weather. But there have been times when we've been right out there in the snow with people, taking them on a tour. Speakingofstrange.com will give you links, but you can go directly to hauntedasheville.com. I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. You know, I also announced last week on the show, we are going to produce a party night called 13th Night. It's going to be on Monday, January 7th of 2013 at 7 p.m. at the Grove House. Now, you might say, why do a party on a Monday night? Well, that's 13th Night. That's what it is. And it's going to be devoted to having a raucous good time and delving into the spiritual. We're going to have fortune tellers there, a little entertainment. We're going to be doing ghost hunts. I'm going to attempt to play the theremin a little bit for the first time in public. You know, the theremin, of course, Shelley Wright, is the world's only instrument that is played without any physical contact.
Yes.
It has two antennas. It's a little box, and there's one antenna that's vertical, and there's one that is a horizontal loop, and you wave your hands around them. You wave your hand around the vertical antenna to change the pitch, and the horizontal one to change the volume. And I learned that you just cannot play this thing when you're drunk. And that's kind of a downer, really. Because, you know, usually musicians, they get, you know, a little toasty, and they go on stage, and then they jam out, right? You know, they carry their beer up on stage. People are feeding them booze the whole time. Theremin.
There's no jamming on the theremin when you're...
You can make a lot of noises when you're drunk, but none of them are really good tunes. In fact, I think cops could just use this as a test on the side of the road, like, play Mary Had a Little Lamb on this, and I'll let you go. Yeah, because it's so sensitive. It's just so nuanced to every little motion. So basically what that means is the theremin part will come right at the beginning of the party. Now that that's out of the way, if you want to hear the theremin, yeah, you better be there right when the doors open. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, 13th tonight, and still... You know, it is clay to be molded in our hands. It's a blank slate upon which we can project our desires and wishes and dreams. So if you have some weird skill, some talent, if you're a psychic or something else unusual, if you do something entertaining and bizarre, let me know about it and maybe we can work you in. At this point, I mean, we've never done it. I'm not saying it's going to be some big money maker or anything. We're just kind of testing out the concept of such an event. Go to joshuapwarren.com and email me, no period after the P there, joshuapwarren.com, 13th night. And while you're there, get yourself a copy of an install of my Ghost Psycho app. A lot of people are using Ghost Psycho all over the world now, and based upon the reviews, they're loving it. They're seeing ghosts. 5-star reviews so far. 5 stars. All right, let's go to, didn't take us long, Port Charlotte, Florida. Sheriff's deputies arrested a Port Charlotte man after he hit a fire lieutenant in the helmet when the fireman was trying to put out a fire behind the man's home. Apparently here says that a 44-year-old man, he picks up a shovel and just goes up behind the fireman and just conks him right in the head. Why would you do that?
You're in Florida.
Right. Why would you hit the fireman? Deputies were called, and they say the guy was being aggressive, so they tasered him and handcuffed him, and they hauled him off. And that's that. Huh. A Florida story. Let's go next to Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. According to the police there, they were called to a home on Thanksgiving over a game of Trivial Pursuit. They say that things got out of hand with the Trivial Pursuit game, and finally, somebody grabbed a hatchet and just went after the other guy with the hatchet.
Now, you and I have played some games.
Many times.
Yeah. And I know a couple people we've played with have literally gotten up very upset and left the premises.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, some people just can't handle it.
Because my intellect, your intellect, which is so overpowering to them, they could not believe that you would answer some question about some North Korean guy priest.
Well, and also we talk a lot of smack during our games.
Right.
That's part of the fun, right?
Exactly.
We're and some people just can't handle that. Their skin is too thin for that. So, you know,
they'll do an answer and we'll make fun of their answer. It's like, what are you thinking? What brings you to think
exactly.
this?
Exactly. Forrest, I can hardly contain myself. I'm just gonna break with the patter right now and tell everybody the ultimate man is in the house.
He is.
He just stepped in. He broke the corridor. He broke the threshold. The guy who belongs in the Dos Equis commercials as the world's most interesting man. Ladies, he's right here in front of me. Dr. William R. Forstian. He just sauntered in. He sat down. You want to put your headphones on, Bill? Yeah, pull on up there. We're not even going to wait till it's your formal segment. We're taking advantage of every moment with the doctor. Welcome back to the studio, Dr. Bill.
That's about the best intro I think I've ever had.
Really?
Thank you. Hey, Josh.
Well, you know, I tell everybody, look, the guy, he's tall, he's handsome, he has a PhD, he's a New York Times best-selling author, he's a professor, he has two airplanes, right? Isn't that two airplanes? I mean, you are the ultimate. Chuck Norris trembles when he hears the name Dr. William R. Forstian. So, look at the sparkles in Shelley's eyes already. The star is there.
He's already made fun of me walking in the door.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, no, it's just easy, dude. Because all I could see was her foot holding the door open.
Oh,
like,
right.
I'm already getting the boot before
I
come in.
A lot of people see that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Really, she's keeping the door propped with her foot because she couldn't let the other door close behind her.
So, now, this is a rare occasion for you to be out late on a Wednesday night in a radio studio here. Listen to me, I just screwed up. This is going to air on Saturday, but we're pre-recording a little bit. You know, the holidays have got us mixed up here. But you're out here, you're late, you're in the studio, you're traveling so much, it's hard to get you physically out into a studio. So, you've been all over the world. Where have you been traveling lately, Dr. Bill?
Sioux City, Iowa.
What's in Sioux City?
There was a wonderful college there, Dort College, and they had me out for a couple of days to talk about my books.
Okay. And so now, we actually, just before you walked into the studio, it's kind of interesting. Forrest brought up, he made a little reference to North Korea. And I have this story here, and it says, North Korean archaeologists discover a secret lair of unicorns. And
keep reading. Keep reading.
Yeah. And it, they
how did they find it?
Well, apparently they stumbled upon a cave entrance, and it said unicorn.
There was a sign
lair.
Up front.
Yeah, it said unicorn entrance here. And apparently their old rulers used to ride unicorns around. And this falls right in line with Kim Jong-un being voted the sexiest man alive recently, they say. And, of course, the fact that Kim Jong-il invented the hamburger. He wrote 1,500 books in college. He shot 11 holes in one.
Did he invent the Enderman as well?
Yes. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about a story I heard tell one time about going in that area. You're flying over North Korea, and you look down at night, and just the image that you painted was really interesting. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be with the one and only Dr. Bill Forstian. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. Nashville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, in the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor, investigator Shelley Wright, and Dr. William R. Freaking Forstian, the ultimate man. You know, in fact, I told everybody before, Bill, if it weren't for you, I may have never even been published by Simon & Schuster, the world's largest publisher. What a big moment that is for a writer to be validated. You hooked me up with the agent who got the deal for How to Hunt Ghosts. That book is dedicated in part to you. And you know what? Since then, I've been able to kind of help out some up-and-coming writers that way. What a gift to pass along, right?
It's the way the business works.
Yeah, yeah. It's personal reference.
What friendship is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If there's a little bit of talent involved somewhere, hopefully. That's when it sucks. Like, I like this guy, but he's not very talented.
When a person writes a book with a crayon, then you got to stay away, but you didn't. So
maniacal rambling. Yeah,
a great book, I thought.
Well, thank you. You know, it's been published in numerous languages in various countries, and you know, it's been a big hit all these years. So now, Bill Forstian, you travel all over the world. Some of my favorite stories, of course, over the years have been hearing you talk about Mongolia, but now. You actually, one evening, apparently, flew over the boundary of North and South Korea, and you want to describe how that looked and what that experience was?
Well, I was definitely flying outside the boundary of North Korea.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be in a North Korean jail right now.
Sure.
Figuring dog meat once a year was my Christmas special.
Yeah.
I was coming back from Mongolia, and we were flying down along the west coast to come in to land at Seoul, and it was creepy. It was right at dusk, so you could differentiate still between the ocean and the land.
Mm-hmm.
And looking across North Korea, it was total darkness. An occasional flicker of a light somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was scary. You knew that it was just one vast gulag down there. I remember wondering, who's looking up at this plane now? We give everything. Not for them to be on the plane, but at least somehow to lift one of their children up to escape that madness.
Sure, sure.
And we got down to the boundary, the parallel, and just sat. It was like a line was drawn across the world, and south of it, everything, it looked just like you're flying over America.
Mm-hmm.
Everything lit up almost as bright as day as we were approaching Seoul. And then as we came in for the approach on the airport, I noticed how we even swung further out to stay a good 20, 25 miles away, even from what the North Koreans claimed as their territory.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally came into land, and it was just like, I'm looking at a medieval world and a modern world.
Yeah.
Except this medieval world now has nuclear weapons.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
So now, one thing also that I like about the approach that you take is that as you travel around to all these countries, you have a very realistic idea of how things are working there, but at the same time, you're a writer, you're very imaginative, and you have an appreciation for the mysteries, the ghost stories, the legends. What do you think is maybe one of the spookiest places that you've ever been to? We were talking recently. You know, I recently got back from Transylvania. Michelle Wright went there.
No, you're
well.
Pronouncing it wrong. Transylvania.
Well, he's been there also, Shelley.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, let's talk about some of the, you know, places you've been to that are kind of notorious for their creepiness.
Well, there's a couple places in downtown Asheville.
Right.
Mind, even in broad daylight.
You've been to plenty of battlefields.
Yes. And why don't I start with that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Civil War historian.
Mm-hmm.
Not to quote the Cowardly Lion, I do believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
I think the creepiest spot I've ever been to is Saks Bridge.
Mm.
In fact, I think you have a photo of it posted up on your website.
I certainly do at the lemurteam.com website.
Oh, my gosh. For those folks who've been to Gettysburg or are familiar with the battle, the south end of the battlefield, Little Round Top, Peach Orchard, where the famous stand of the 20th Maine took place on Little Round Top, and the second day's battle was fought. Next time you go to Gettysburg, if you're driving out of town, down the Emmitsburg Road, right through the middle of where Pickett's Charge came in, when you hit the Peach Orchard, turn right. Go up over Seminary Ridge, go about a mile, and you'll cross over, was it Willoughby Run?
Mm-hmm.
And just as you cross over the concrete bridge, you will see a covered bridge on your left. Go there after dark. I dare you to spend an hour. I dare even you to spend an hour there alone.
Right.
All right. I pull up, and we were alone that night. My ex, I would say, I mean, we've been divorced for some years, a lovely woman. My young daughter at the time, my daughter's 19 now, she was about 9 at the time. And it's like, okay, let's go out and check the bridge. Ha, ha, ha. And I stepped on the bridge. Now, the bridge is a covered bridge, and let's put this into its historical perspective. There were 58,000 casualties at the Battle of Gettysburg. And the Confederacy endured somewhere upwards around 10,000 casualties in the second day assault. And the wounded had to be moved to near where there was water. And so that riverbank was lined with thousands of men wounded and dying.
Right.
And then on July 4th of 1863, when the Confederate Army pulled out, see, I'm starting to sound like a historian again. All of Longstreet's corps retreated across that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And by one account, it just said that the wooden flooring was drenched with blood by the time the last of the troops pulled out. I get on the bridge, walking across, and then suddenly it was like, I just suddenly saw him. There was Rod Serling saying, "Presented for your consideration, a historian about to cross into the Twilight Zone." Dun, dun, dun. And I'll tell you, it was like ice water down my back. I kept getting these. I got to tell you about Strawberry Plains, a hospital, as well. But went across the bridge, and it was just, this is really starting to get disturbing. I'm walking back with my daughter, and something was like a cone of icy cold. I turned. My ex-wife was about 15, 20 feet behind me, and I turned, and I snapped a photo. You can see her in the photograph. and digital camera, and I held it up. I took one look at the picture, and I said, Megan, let's get out of here now!
Yeah.
And I grabbed my daughter, and I ran. Because it's like a smoky coil.
Yeah.
Is right behind us.
I'm looking at it right now, and honestly, I cannot explain what this is. And you know, I've seen thousands of
photos. Why don't you give the website address?
Yeah, if you go to lemurteam.com, that's L-E-M-U-R-T-E-A-M, lemurteam.com. And Shelley Wright, you're looking at it right now. You can see there is his wife, ex-wife and daughter. Look at these swirly masses. And here's another one. Actually, no, that was a different location. Yeah, this is the one that we posted. Standing at the end of the bridge, you can see the rafters. And, I mean, it looks like a spiral of light that's just moving almost clockwise. You can almost see the motion. And then there is sort of a smaller misty cloud at the bottom. And they look like independent entities of some sort.
They do.
Go to lemurteam.com and click the link that says photos, and you'll find it there. We'll also have a link put up for you at speakingofstrange.com.
Now, we run off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I yell to my wife, get off the bridge now.
Yeah.
And a moment later, a police car pulled up. And there's a big sign, by the way, down by the road says, no parking after dark. And I thought, oh, man, the guy's going to hassle me. And he pulls up, rolls down his window, and I start to say, officer, I'm sorry. And he said, no. He said, I saw the car. I just want to check to make sure you're okay. I said, yes, sir. And he said something like, did anything interesting happen? And I showed him the photo, and he was rather nonplussed. You know, normally police officers don't say, man, I saw a ghost, too.
Mm-hmm.
He told me how one night he was driving over the concrete bridge, and he said, the Saks Bridge was on fire. And he pulled in, roared up, already had radioed in for the fire department. And he said when he pulled up and got so he could see inside the bridge, there was a red pulsing glow, and then it coiled in on itself and just disappeared.
Wow.
He said the fire trucks were already pulling, and he called back and says, guys, and he said he took a lot of ribbing over it. He said, I saw it. It looked like the bridge was on fire. And then he actually said, are you guys leaving now? And I said, yeah, I'm pissed off. He says, good. He actually said, I don't want to stay here alone.
Sure.
Now, the problem with going to Saks Bridge is you got every wacko in the world showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And they do worry that some crazy types might do some sort of cultish ceremonies in there. I've been there a couple of times taking groups on Civil War tours. It's just like, guys, we'll just come back later because you got to be there by yourself, quiet night, and you will hear it. You'll see it. I've talked to people who said they've been shoved. They could hear whispering voices.
Mm-hmm.
As a reenactor, I showed up there in uniform, and this old woman was sitting there, and she just said, why don't you go across the bridge by yourself? And I was like, why? She said, they don't like Yankees. And but one that was even spookier.
Yeah.
Is that the music coming up that we're going to break?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I want to tell you about Strawberry Plains over in Tennessee.
Okay.
That was the spookiest place of all, I think.
Beautiful. Well, we'll get to that as soon as we come back, and Bill's going to be around possibly the rest of the show, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
excellent. Even the dark 30 hour when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff. You'll love that one, Bill.
Okay.
Talking with Dr. Bill Forstchen, Forstchen.com. Yay,
yeah.
Nay, Forstchen.com.
Well, yeah, you set that up for me years
I
ago.
I did. I think now it's all about your book. But hey, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. It's Speaking of Strange.
Same as my daddy, I'm sad at before. Yonder was it. Yonder was it. Yonder was it.
man in the festival van with the horn that's honking like a mariachi band. In the middle of the street, people gather around. Dollar in the can. I wait. Chaos. DJ cowboys hang around. Sleeping in the sidewalk with a Burger King crown. Never wake them up. Massive visit to the rooster crows. Vatos vergallos.
We are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Next hour, we are going to continue our conversation with Dr. Bill Forstchen and talk about, well, some of the things related to his book, One Second After. I mean, here it is, 13 days, if you're listening to this here on Saturday night, 13 days from December 21st of 2012, the dreaded date for so many people. We'll talk about preparation. And then, of course, after that, we have a great dark 30-hour lined up for you. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial stuff. So now, Dr. Forstchen, you said you had an experience at a place called Strawberry Plains in Tennessee. Is that right?
Right. Okay. And I look back on it now, that was even kind of creepier than Saks Bridge, because Saks Bridge, I'd already heard about, I knew about. And again, if you go to Gettysburg, just go down to Peach Orchard, take the road west, and you'll see Saks Bridge. Strawberry Plains is a rather neglected campaign of the Civil War, 1863. Longstreet's Corps, after Chickamauga, moved up towards Knoxville. And they scrimmaged back and forth with some Union troops for a couple of months. You hear all the time. I mean, you can go almost every other building in the South that dates the Civil War. Oh, this was a Civil War hospital. This really was a Civil War hospital. There's over 120 boys who died in that hospital are buried behind it. Mm-hmm. There's markers there and everything else. Now, the building was a church. It is very secured, lock up. Don't go and try and look for it. You'll be hustled off the property. But a friend of mine, my neighbor, Lee Robinson, knew the local guy who had the keys. So Lee, his son, and I went there. And now they said, yeah, there's stuff happens in here. And the building's been abandoned for about 60 or 70 years because of this, all right? So they get the guy to open the door, and you know, come in to the vault. Yeah. We walk in, and the local guy who let us in just stood there and said, I'm just curious, go ahead. And I walked about 30 feet in, I was like, whoa. Like that icy chill. And I just started to walk around, and it was, you almost felt like you were being, like an overpressure was on you. And I just took my camera, and I just started shooting. All right? I turned, and I looked back at Lee and his son, and I just, very creepy feeling, and I shot, all right? Now, the back of your digital camera, what's the screen on the old digital cameras? Like an inch and a half across?
Right.
So we get back home. I start loading the things up into my computer, and it's just like, oh, you know, Mr. Wizard, take me home. I'll call my priest, have the computer removed, get the hazmat. There were photos of just like smoke, coiling smoke. You know, I was looking for it just last night because I want to try and I was going to download some copies of this to give to you. I can't find the thing. I asked Lee to look. He's looking for them. Now the creepy one. I start to blow up the photo a little bit of Lee and his son. There is a face looking straight at the camera, contorted face looking straight at you.
Ooh.
I called Lee. I said, come on up to the house. I want to show you something. And he came in. I said, take a look at this. Whoa! He actually backed up from the computer.
Yeah.
He said, I'm never going in there again.
Wow. And this place is just sitting there abandoned.
What we were told, you know, there's always what's the legends, what's true and everything else, was that there were so many manifestations going on that nobody local would go into the building anymore. And so they just locked it up.
And it's privately owned?
Yeah.
Maybe I should buy it.
Oh, it'd be a great place for your museum.
Times are tough, right? You can get things like that cheap now.
Yeah, but anybody you let into the museum, you have to have them bring their will and sign over 10% to you if they die while in there.
I like
because
that.
You will collect.
Yeah.
I'll never go back in there again. Wow. And I mean that. I will never go back inside that building again.
And so this is around, is this in Sevier County? It looks like Sevier County.
Yeah, it's near Knoxville.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell you precisely where
sure.
it is on the air. I mean, I'll remember, I think I mentioned to you, I'll get you personally in there
sure.
and the rest of your team.
Right.
And they'll abandon you. They'll tie you up and say, here's our offering.
Yeah.
don't get in our cars with us or drive back.
I've abandoned my boy.
Yes.
We have about 2 minutes before our next break. 2 years ago, I spent 3 nights on the Antietam battlefield.
Ah, there's a lot of stories about Antietam.
You know, it's kind of like the forgotten horror of the Civil War.
That is a nightmare place.
Yeah, people don't realize the bloodiest day in American history happened there in September. Was it 1862?
September 17th, 1862.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, you're talking 8 to 11 hours, something like 23,000 men were killed.
I always try to point out the societal impact statistically.
Mm-hmm.
30 million people were living in America on the day of that battle.
Uh-huh.
23,000 casualties, killed and wounded.
Uh-huh.
If it happened today, it would be the equivalent of our society sustaining 230,000 casualties in 10 hours. Now, what would be the societal impact of that?
It's unimaginable.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will kick off hour two here of the show talking about some of the things that are a little bit more up-to-date, things that you might have to be concerned with if, well, some of the things regarding solar flares.
And we have to talk about Transylvania as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We're just going to bounce around all over the place. I'm talking with Dr. William R. Forstgen, best-selling author, professor, world traveler, man of international intrigue. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. 13 months old.